Good morning. Great to be back with you guys again today. Been here a few times, and it's always a blessing to me. Love Pastor Carlos and Adriana, and just seeing what God is doing with this church again. As I mentioned in the first service, it's neat to look out and see faces I haven't seen before, and you're looking at me saying, I've never seen you before even. So we're even, right? But it's just awesome to see what God is doing. I remember as he was sharing with me kind of how the Lord was laying this on his heart, and to see it come into fruition and to continue to grow and be fruitful. I mean, what an amazing, amazing thing. So cool to see. I will tell you, go and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, but we're going to take a little bit. I'm going to explain how we got to that passage this week. So go and find it, Acts chapter 10. Then I'll explain to you how the Lord works in my life when it comes to these things. What I have found in this season of life where I get an opportunity to guest teach at, you know, several different Calvary chapels, and what the Lord has been doing recently is there's events that happen in my life where I know as it's happening, the Lord is preparing me, teaching me something so that I can teach the next place that calls and says, can you cover for me? And it's always amazing to me because of how, like, it's usually within a week. It's amazing. Like, I don't have any schedule or anything for these things, and a pastor will call up, and I'm like, I just know that this was something the Lord was preparing me to teach that fellowship at this time. And it's exciting to me because there's always the option of, do I teach something I've taught before at other churches that was well received, or is it something fresh that he wants me to give to this specific fellowship? And this week, that was definitely the case. So I'll kind of explain to you how it happened. One of my former employees who went to move to another city, he's in Corvallis, he contacted me about a week ago. He's like, hey, Clint, you know, how about we go to lunch? Before he left my store, we were going to go to lunch. It just didn't work out, didn't have the opportunity to do it, so we never got sat down to do it. So he contacted me last week, and he asked if we can do it. I said, well, I can't do lunch on Tuesday. I said, but maybe we can do breakfast on Tuesday. That'd be a good time. I'm off. My daughter's in town. You know, we can go and have some breakfast real quick, catch up with one another. During that time together, you know, I don't go when I think of, like, you know, evangelism, I don't go with a plan like, you know, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to share this with the, you know, the guys or whatever it is. I just kind of take it as it goes. It's something where the Lord opens those opportunities. And if I have the opportunity to share my testimony or share the gospel or whatever it is, I try to do those things. But really, all I was thinking about that morning is, how is he doing? And I was kind of hungry. So I wanted, you know, I wanted my moons over my hammy is what I really wanted at that moment. And we're talking, but he's asking me some questions about, you know, he knew that I was a pastor. He knew that I had a church in Woodburn for a while, and he was kind of curious about it. So he started asking me some questions. And during the conversation, part of that popped up, which I don't share often because I haven't thought about this for a long time, but it had to do with a gentleman named John Hines. Now, John Hines was a person that I used to work with back in Arizona at our shop there. And this was all the way back in the 90s, you know, 94, 95, something like that. And there was a specific moment. I had recently been born again. I was the only believer in our shop, and my life was drastically changing before their eyes. I mean, I was becoming a new creation in Christ, like right in front of them. So they thought I was involved with a cult. I mean, they were freaking out because I wasn't drinking with them anymore. My vocabulary was changing. I learned some new words and ruled out some other ones that I was real comfortable with for most of my life. Just the things that we used to do together, I wasn't doing anymore. And it wasn't because somebody handed me a rule book, this is what you do now that you're a Christian. Like, there was something going on inside of me. And there was a pretty radical transformation that was happening really quick. So in our business, we have what we call a morning huddle. And every morning, you know, typically the sales staff will get together and we'll meet in the office or meet out back or whatever it is. And we'll talk about, okay, these are the goals. This is what we need to do. We need to tighten it up on this, you know, whatever the plan is. We need to attack these things. Well, in the middle of that morning huddle that week, John Hines, in the middle of all the other assistant managers and myself, he looks at me and goes, you're probably going to be a pastor or something. And he starts laughing at me, and all the guys were laughing at me. But at that moment, when he said that, it was as if the Lord himself spoke that to my heart. I mean, it was just like he was intending to mock me. He was making fun of me, and everybody's laughing at me. But I just kind of sat there quiet, taking it in. And I remember the Lord kind of speaking that to my heart, like, you are. And I remember even thinking at the moment, like, am I going to be a pastor? You know, I mean, it was like, it was one of those moments where it's like, this, I knew the Lord had spoken this to my heart. I don't know that he ever knew that that happened at that time. But I was sharing this with Dylan, you know, my previous employee who we were eating breakfast, and I was letting him know how God uses all circumstances as a believer, that we come to understand that God uses everything. He uses the good, he uses the bad. He uses things that most people will look right past and not pay much attention to. But to the believer, those things happen at times, and we understand right at that moment that it is the Lord who is doing something. And we can look back and we can see clearly how God was very specifically working in that circumstance. So I'm just sharing with him, as you know, he does, the gentleman I'm eating breakfast with, he's not a believer, didn't grow up in church. I'm like, that's one of the greatest things that I've learned as a believer, is how exciting that is. You know, when you realize that all things are working together, like everything God is using, the good, the bad, everything, you can have confidence that you know God is doing something. He's weaving your life together. So we're sharing these things. Now, again, I hadn't thought about John for a couple years. You know, I haven't seen him for many, many years. So we were sitting there. We had this breakfast, had a great conversation. I go home, I grab my computer. Now, I'm not currently pastoring a church right now, so I don't look at my emails every day, right? And so I pulled up my emails. I'm just curious. I looked at them for the last couple of weeks. And there's this email that came over from Pastor Kevin from Calvary Chapel Southeast. I was like, oh, Kevin, what's up? You know, maybe he needs somebody to guest teach or whatever. I pull it up and I open it up and it says, hey, Clint, I'm forwarding this to you because somebody named John Hines, his wife, has contacted us asking if we could forward this to you. I thought, well, that's strange. I mean, we're talking the same day that I had breakfast, and that name came up, and I didn't think twice about it. It was just kind of weird that I thought of him. So I call him up immediately. I'm like, hey, John, what's going on? He goes, man, I can't believe I finally reached you. He goes, I've been looking for you for the last couple of months trying to track you down. I'm like, what is going on? He goes, well, I had a stroke about a year and a half ago, and I'm a disability now. And, you know, he worked for our company. Then he started driving trucks and doing stuff, and he was out living his life. And we just kind of lost track of each other. He's like, you know, but I was trying to find you. He goes, like, I couldn't find you on your website, your church. I know you used to pastor a church. Couldn't find anything there because the website's gone. He's like, I couldn't find anything on social media because I dropped all my social media accounts. He's like, I couldn't find anything. All I saw was, like, you know, you pull up your name and you see like obituaries when Clint Chapel died. And I'm thinking, did he die? You know, what happened to this guy, right? And he's telling me, he goes, I've been looking for like a couple months. He goes, I was frustrated. I was telling my wife, you know, man, how do I reach this guy? How would I find him? And she's like, well, didn't you see that he was teaching? And he had watched some of my teachings, I guess, while he was doing it. He found some teachings where I had guest taught at some places. And one of the places where he saw that I taught was Calvary Chapel Southeast. So she was like, why don't you contact that church and see if they can reach him by doing it? And that's how he ended up sending the email to me. So I was able to talk to him. And I was just sitting there as that was going on, and I was just knowing this is a God moment. Like, of all the times for somebody to reach me, you know, again, I'm off, I'm able to check my emails. You know, I had this breakfast with Dylan, John Hines came out of the blue, and then he reaches out to Kevin. Kevin forwards it to me, and I'm thinking, think of all of these details that had to take place precisely at this time. I was like, in my heart, at that moment, I was like, this will be a teaching. This will be something I'll teach on for whoever calls me to teach next. So that was Tuesday of this week. On Friday, I get a text from Pastor Carlos. He's like, hey, I'm sorry about the short notice, but I'm really feeling sick. Would you mind, you know, coming in and teaching for me this week? And I'm like, there it is. All right, I know what I need to do. I told my wife, she's like, how are you going to put together a teaching? Because sometimes if I've taught something before, I'll teach it somewhere else if I feel like that's what God wants. But I try to honestly say, okay, maybe there's something God wants me to say to this fellowship that's fresh, something I haven't taught before. And I knew exactly what I wanted to teach. I just didn't know what passage I was going to teach it on. I'm like, I'm going downstairs. I'm going to go get this teaching figured out. And within a few hours, I was able to pull it together and do it. So much so that my wife was like, so what are you teaching on again? I said, no, this is a new teaching. She's like, you did that so quick. I'm like, I know. God already told me what I was going to do. I just had to figure it out, put it together. So I was super excited about being able to teach that. I was also, it made me realize something about being a believer that I think we take for granted sometimes. You know, we see God working in our lives and doing things like that that we just take for granted. We don't pay much attention to it because we're used to it. We're used to God kind of doing things like that where he reveals himself to us, or he shows that he's involved, or there's something precise that he's doing in our lives, and we have become so accustomed to it that we don't tell anyone. We may be like, oh, you know, that's cool. You know, that was really a neat thing, and praise God, and man, it was really cool how that worked out. But we don't take the time to tell someone else. Well, see, in my case, I had both Dylan, which I was just kind of sharing about John Hines, that I was able to call him or text him and say, hey, I just want to share, you know, update you on this. You're never going to believe all this. So I typed it out for him, and he got it. He's like, okay, cool. You know, didn't think much of it. And then John, as I'm speaking to him, I'm like, John, man, this has God's fingerprints all over this, man. Think of all the things that had to take place so precisely, such an intricate thing that he was putting together so that we knew it was him that was bringing us back together, so that we could talk and we could encourage one another and have this for one another. So that's where this teaching came from. When I started thinking about it, of what I wanted to teach on this, I just kept on thinking about Peter, and I started thinking about this situation, about how God, it shows so clearly how God works through all these little details when God's working. And he often works on both sides of the situation. It's not just in the heart of the person that he's working. He's working on the other end as well. And as a believer, when you start seeing these things come together, both what he's birthing in your heart, and then you see what he's doing in somebody else's life, and they confirm that, it's amazing. It's intoxicating, because it's like, man, you just know that God is involved, and it's such a cool thing to see. So let's pray, let's get into God's word, and then you'll see an example from Scripture. Father, I thank you, Lord, that again, we could do this, that we can get into your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and it's powerful. I thank you so much that we can take your word, which was written so long ago, and yet we can see evidence of how you still work in our lives today. Father, I pray that if any of us have grown dull-hearted towards these things, or maybe we just take it for granted, would you please open that back up to us again? Help us to have that excitement for seeing how you are working in our lives on a daily basis. And help us to use that to help others to see. When they're oblivious to it, they don't see it. It's not part of their world. Help us to show them how you work and how involved you are on a daily basis in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in verse 1 of chapter 10 in Acts, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called out two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who had waited on him continually. So when he explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. Here we get to see something a little bit behind the scenes of what God is doing in a specific circumstance. We get to see the intricate details of what God is doing. And it made me think, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if we could see what God is doing behind the scenes in situations like this? You know, like here we have the Bible, and we're blessed to have this, because we wouldn't know this about God unless he revealed this. We wouldn't know that he was working all these things out together for this plan that he was unfolding. These people were just participants in his plan. And he was working on each one individually, very specific, certain things that had to happen for the next thing to take place. So my mind starts going to, well, what if God did that for me for my little adventure this week on Tuesday? What if I was able to see how God was working behind the scenes? What if we were able to read about it just like we do in Scripture? So I started thinking about it, like, first of all, with John, a couple of months ago. What if the Lord was speaking to John's heart for him to start searching for my name on Google because he couldn't find it anywhere? And he was leading him to specific teachings that were going to minister to him specifically for what he was going through in life. Then, what if the Lord spoke directly to his wife and said, Jackie, John's not figuring this out. would you please send an email for John to that church where he taught? Because they for sure should know how to reach him. Then Dylan, a couple weeks ago, Dylan, as he knows he's coming back home from college, and that thought occurred to him, and the Lord was like, Dylan, why don't you take Clint up on that lunch that he tried to take you to before you left his store? Why don't you go and do it this week? Contact him, see if he'll go to lunch with you now. He's going to tell you that he can't do lunch, but he can do breakfast. And as he's eating his breakfast, thinking about how good that sandwich is, he's going to start sharing with you about his personal life. And Dylan, I want you to remember this one thing, this one name, John Hines. It means nothing to you now, but it'll make sense in a little bit. Then Clint, while you're eating your delicious sandwich and you're sharing your testimony, I want you to bring up that employee from the 1990s that you worked with in Arizona that you haven't seen for a long time. It's been years. As a matter of fact, I haven't even brought him into your mind for several years. But right in the middle of sharing your testimony, I want you to bring up that one very specific thing that I did to use him to confirm your calling as a pastor all those years ago. And I want you to share that with Dylan, even though Dylan doesn't have a clue of who this guy is. Then Pastor Kevin, he's busy, I guarantee it. He's got lots of things going, but I can see him saying, Pastor Kevin, I want you to go and open up your emails. And through those hundreds of emails that you're getting a day, I want you to pick up that one from that person you've never heard of before, named Jackie. And I want you to click on that. And I want you to read that. And I want you to send that to Clint. Forward it to him. But it needs to be on December 23rd on Tuesday after 12 o'clock. Because that's after he's going to eat breakfast and go to his computer, which he hasn't opened up for a long time, and look at his emails. I need it to be right then. Then for me, Clint, open your emails. Go look at it. See what Kevin has to say. Open it up and see that John Hines, who you haven't thought about for years, and that just popped up in your conversation, he's been trying to get in touch with you. And I want you to see that I am involved with all of these specific details so that you know that I am involved in everything. I am precise. Everything that goes on, I've got my hands in it. Believers, non-believers, I'm involved with all of it. And I just want it to glorify my name. I want you to bring glory to it through this. There are no coincidences in life. None. Every detail matters. And we as believers, just like everyone else, we get caught up in the things of life, right? And things get difficult and things get hard and it gets crazy. And we stop living like that. We stop paying attention. God does stuff. It's not that he stops doing stuff. It just ceases to be impressive to us anymore because we've experienced it and we just kind of go through it, right? Things happen and it comes together. We're like, oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, that's awesome. Cool. Let's move on. And we miss that opportunity, first of all, to just bask in the mystery of God for a little bit because it's mysterious. It's mysterious how he does this. It's mysterious how the timing is so precise in so many conversations and meetings with people and events that happen in our lives. But it's also amazing. And we sometimes become, we get so used to it that it doesn't impact us anymore. And we don't tell anyone either. We don't share with people. See, I got off the phone that day. I was in the kitchen having this conversation. You know, my kids are in the living room. They're getting ready to eat and watching a movie. And I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about this before we watch this movie. And they're like, what? So I go through these details. And here's what I've learned in my life. When the Lord starts doing something and you kind of, I don't know, spidey sense, Christian sense, something, like where you start realizing that God is doing something, take some time to write it down or put it in your notes in your phone. Like, keep track of the details. Start putting the details down. Because you're going to need to be able to say it. So I pulled out my phone because as we were talking on the phone, I'm just like typing stuff in. I'm like, this is the Lord, man. This is the Lord. And I know the Lord's going to use this. I want to know the details. So I went through it with my family. I'm like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And they're like, oh, cool, Dad. I'm like, no, you don't get it. See, To them, that was my moment. And I was sitting there, I was like, wow, this is God. And I was able to call Dylan. I was able to, again, text him and tell him of what's going on. And I don't know if it's going to bear any fruit in his life, but maybe one day he'll remember that. And then I was able to tell John as we were talking, I'm like, John, this is God all over it. Now, just an experience that I had was used by God to hopefully impact their lives, not just my own experience. It was something that the Lord can use now to encourage them in their walk, to maybe create a greater awareness in their life of how God works in all of these little details. Now, back to the Bible, though, and how I see it play out here was, the Lord is now orchestrating things in Peter's life to accomplish his will. In verse 9, it says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and letting it down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. If you follow Peter at all, and if you're familiar with this story, he's one of the few characters that likes to tell Jesus no. No, Lord, I will never do that. Like he loves to do that. He always is constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. And I picture this whole thing. You know, we read this and we're like, okay, so it this sheet comes down and it falls down and there's animals, you know, lobsters or whatever it is, bacon laying right there. I don't know what it is, but the Lord's like, rise, kill, and eat, you know? And he's like, no, Lord, I would never do something like that because of the Jewish heritage. If you know anything about it, all of those things were forbidden his entire life. This was part of the dietary laws. Like they could not have it. And all of a sudden, in this moment, God is changing everything. Okay? In this one moment on this rooftop with Peter involved. Of all the people, Peter, he's going to change this whole thing. So it comes down the first time, it's like, no, and I just kind of like imagine, you know, the sheet going back in heaven, and Peter's like, hey, handle that, and then it's all like, ooh, and it comes down again, and he goes, Peter, what I have called, but let me read it so I don't mess it up, what God has cleansed, you must not call common, and Peter's like, no, Lord, I will not do it. He's all, vroom, takes it back up two times, and then the third time, I imagine the Lord just like, boom, drops it down like eight. You know, I don't know what he says. It doesn't say. But sometimes we're kind of thick-skulled like that. We got it all figured out. You know, we know how God's going to do everything, and this is the way that God works. I've got it in my nice little box. This is how God operates. And then the Lord kind of changes things on us, and we're like, okay. God, I didn't think you were going to go that direction in this circumstance. Peter's a good example of how we respond sometimes to these things. But fortunately, God is persistent. And even though we're thick-skulled, he kind of breaks through that. Sometimes it takes a jackhammer, but he gets through eventually to let us know, this is what I'm doing, and you need to get on board. But think about Peter before he went on the rooftop. Do you think that he had any idea of what was going to happen in his life at that moment? Here he is. He's like waiting for his food. And he decides he's going to go up on the rooftop to pray like we all do. You know, he goes up on the rooftop and he's praying. And he's probably getting a little hangry at that moment. You know, like, I'm hungry. Why isn't this food done? And all of a sudden, he drops into a trance. And right at the moment, the Lord decides to show him that he is about to open wide open the way of salvation to all the Gentiles. Through that one circumstance, he had no clue about what God was about to do prior to going up on that rooftop. And he had no idea that God was already working on the other end. He was already working in Cornelius's heart. He was already setting things in order that Peter was absolutely oblivious to. He had no idea what was coming. All he saw was what was going on in his life. And that's the way we are. And we can't fault anyone for that. I see what's going on in my life, but I'm not aware of what's happening in this person's life or that person's life or how this is all going to come together. But the Lord works on both ends. I think there's a warning in there too, or maybe something that we can start applying. If you start getting hangry, you might want to go up on your rooftop and pray and see what happens. Might be a good thing to do. Time to go pray. In verse 17, we get to see how God started to put all the puzzle pieces together. It says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.' Then he invited them and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Something I hadn't seen or thought much about before, but it is interesting that, you know, you would think, of all the people that he sends him to be with, he sends him with another guy named Simon. And he has to be precise enough to say, you're going to go to Simon's house, the tanner, but he has to tell the guys coming from Cornelius, but his surname is Peter. And that's how you know this is the right house. It'll be another Simon that you come to meet, but it's the one I call Peter, the rock. That's the one you're looking for. Just the little details that the Lord has to put in there. He could have, you know, he could have been like, go and stay at Bob's house, you know? But no, they had to use the name Peter. Interesting. So, like I said, it's always a little mysterious. It's always a little amazing when God starts using different circumstances in our lives to accomplish something amazing for him. And I want you to see how precise he is. He is so precise. See, like when you know, if you're being deceived and you're calling up some number and somebody's going to tell you your future, or visit by their shop and they're going to do stuff, they're always vague, right? You know, oh, you're going to be sick, or you're going to fall in love with someone here in the next year, or whatever it is. It's always vague. When somebody is trying to like deceive you, they typically will be very vague about the details. God is very precise. When he is doing something, it is very precise. Like it's, you're going to know it's the Lord. It's not somebody just saying, oh, you're going to marry this young woman here in the next couple of years. I always, you know, in church, we would see that happen every once in a while. I'd have guys kind of come through our foyer in our churches in Arizona, and they'd be in some little girl, you know, teenager would come up like, this guy's creeping me out. He's saying that I'm supposed to be his wife. It's like, no, you know, that's the way people who are trying to deceive people will do things. You know, they'll be very vague about it. The Lord spoke this to my heart. No, when God's doing something, it is like super precise. First of all, he would have spoken that to your heart if that was truly what was going to be going on. But he works in such a way that you can give no one credit but God for what is about to take place. That's how God works. He will share that glory with no one else. You can't take the credit for it. You can't say, this is how I made this whole thing work. You stand back and you're a participant. And you're just like, I can't believe how he put that on my heart and I was faithful to do that thing. But look at what he did. He did all of this. It's so clear it was him. And that's not always immediately evident, but somewhere along the way, he always makes it known. I also laugh about the fact, you know, it was Paul who wrote in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Peter was hungry and went up on his roof to pray. And then all of a sudden this vision happens and like everything is changing in his life as far as what he's supposed to be eating and not eating. And he knows it has something to do with Gentiles because the Lord told them this Gentile guy is going to send more Gentiles to come and get you. And you're going to go with them. Just trust me. I know what's going on. Like talk about having your whole day upended, all your plans, right? He had no idea of all the things that were going to happen. And on top of that, he's going to give a message to them. You know, I got the text on Friday and I had to come up with a message for today. That's nothing compared to what he's about to walk into. This is going to be a much different situation for him. Let's read about it when Peter arrived at Cornelius' house. Up to this point, all he had known that the Lord was doing something really important, something clean and unclean, and it had to do with the Gentiles. In verse 24, it says, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" That's a big moment right there. Like, he went in and he saw all these people, and I wonder if he was seeing lobsters and four-footed animals or whatever, and he's like, "I get it. That's what the Lord was showing me. He was preparing me for this moment." And he says once again, "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection," which makes me laugh because he did object a little bit. But it's his story. He's telling it. "Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Guess what? You're the guest teacher today, Peter. "We'll sit down. I have a whole house full of people. Teach us." No pressure. And without a prepared message, Peter did the one thing that usually got him in trouble more than anything else. He opened his mouth. Unprepared. Just opened his mouth and started talking. But this time, it's exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. Listen to what he says in verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" Think of that opening statement. He says, "I get it, God. You have no favorites. You love them all. You love me, you love them. And you had to teach me first so that I would understand your love for them. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that you would know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Imagine that. Imagine that moment. As a pastor, I get to experience those things sometimes when I'm teaching and the Lord just wells up truth in me. And I'm teaching and it's just like, again, kind of sitting like a spectator, these verses start coming to mind and you can sense it's the Lord saying, "This is what I want you to communicate. This is what I want you to say." And you just want to go back and listen to the message because you know it wasn't in your notes. And you're like, "That was the Lord. That was him for these people. And they had no idea what God was doing. They thought it was me. It wasn't. It was him. I bet he was tearing up as he said, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Then, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many of them came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You know, again, it's funny coming. So all I've ever known since I didn't grow up in the church, and when I got saved, it was in a Calvary Chapel. So the style of ministry is what I know within Calvary Chapel. And I've heard it explained, you know, people describe Calvary Chapel oftentimes as we're charismatics with a seatbelt. You know, like we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, we do that, but we're not going to be like woohoo and crazy things kind of happening and all those kinds of things. And I appreciate that a lot about Calvary Chapels, because I do believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe that they do operate, and all those types of things. But I appreciate that we take it to the Word and say, it needs to line up with this. If it lines up with this, this is the standard, not our experience, it's our standard. Okay, so there's room for both to breathe in that area. I can't imagine Pastor Peter talking to Gentiles and this message welling within his heart and bursting out of him, this truth. I mean, that he like gave the entire gospel in those, you know, 15 sentences or whatever it was. It was concise. It was direct. It was profound. It was life-giving. It was everything. And he like unloaded it on him. And as he is teaching, he sees the Holy Spirit descend upon them like it descended upon him and the others on the day of Pentecost. Those who had Jewish descent. And the Lord is sitting here and he's showing them, they're no different to me, Jews and Gentiles alike. I died for all of them. And Peter is sitting there, and that's not the way the service was supposed to go. And he stands back and he's like, okay, God, this is your show. This is you. Not only that, he's like, it's time for a baptism. That's one thing. So in my journey over the last few years, I've been attending a smaller Baptist church. The Lord just really knit my heart to the pastor that's there. When I first was visiting, we were looking for where are we going to go to church, you know? And it was really tough. It was really hard to find a church. You know, growing up in like Calvary and pastoring at Calvary for so long and how important verse-by-verse teaching is to me. Like, it's like, it's an important thing to me. And the simplicity of it. You know, I don't need the fog machine. I don't need the lights. I don't need the production. I just worship. Just worship. Like what we saw today. Just worship. That's all I need. You know, and let people worship with you. So those things were important. I was having a tough, tough time finding a church. And I walked into this little... I'm going to share the story because this is another one. This is the bonus for you who come to the second service. Sorry, first service. How I ended up at this church. This is another amazing story. So, do I have time? Okay, all right, okay. Cool, 1:30 or so? All right, so. So I'm in my shop. I manage a tire store. And my guys come and they knock on the door like, hey, Clint, somebody wants to see you. I said, okay, customer wants to talk to me. That happens. So I go out there and I'm kind of thinking, oh boy, what went wrong? You know, as a manager, I'm like, oh boy, what did we break? Let's talk. What went wrong? And he goes, you don't remember me, do you? I said, I really don't. He goes, well, my name's Matt. I said, oh, hey, Matt, how's it going? He goes, years ago, you used to work at the Salem store. I said, yeah, I did. He goes, well, I went to that Salem store and I don't remember if I had my Bible or if I had a book that I was reading, but you walked up to me and you said, what are you reading? Which I do that. If I see somebody reading something Christian or I see somebody reading a Bible, I will walk up to you and ask you what you're reading. Okay, because I love the conversation that follows. So He goes, I was reading through something and I started asking you questions. You told me you were pastoring a church and you were working here full time and that you were doing some sort of discipleship with your guys at the shop after work and they were watching some video series. He goes, it just really stood out in my head. He goes, I was really encouraged with it, you know, all that you were doing. I was like, oh, that's cool, man. That's great. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's really awesome. I'd love to get together and talk sometime, you know. And he was just kind of going on with that. I was like, oh, that's cool. And he goes, well, where do you live? I said, well, I live in Kaiser. He's like, oh, I live in Kaiser. I said, oh, that's cool. I said, he goes, well, where do you live in Kaiser? I said, kind of on the north end of Kaiser, kind of near McNary. He's all, I live in that area. He goes, what street do you live in? I was like, I live on Barnick. He's all, I live on Barnick. And I said, he goes, are you the family that moved into that greenhouse with the really big tree in their front yard like about a year or so ago? I was like, yeah. He goes, I can see your house from my house. I was like, what? He's like, yes. I said, this is crazy. I said, and we were getting slammed at the time. I'm like, we have to pick up this conversation. I got to help my guys, but we have to pick up this conversation later. So I told him, I said, you know, I'll got his phone number and I said, I'll call you. So he came over to my house and he was sharing with me that he had recently switched churches and he really missed his old church, that he loved it, that he loved his old church, but for his family, he needed to switch churches and go to this other one. And he was talking about wanting to do like a men's Bible study within the neighborhood. I said, hey, I'm game for that. Come down here. I got all kinds of books, dude. Choose a book. We'll figure something out. And we started and I gave him Disciplines of a Godly Man, R. Kent Hughes. Like, yeah, I wanted to read that book. So we're sitting there and we're talking about it. He's like, yeah, we'll start this Bible study and all this stuff, right? And he asked me where I was going to church. I said, well, I'm having a tough time, to be honest with you. I said, I'm really struggling with this because I can't seem to find a church that feels like this is where I'm supposed to be. And I said, I hate it. People used to always tell me that when they came to my church, like I'm church shopping. I'm like, I'm a church shopper. You know, like I can't find it. And he was like, he goes, you know, based on what you're telling me, he goes, you would have really loved the church that I just left. I said, why is that? He goes, because you're telling me you're looking for a pastor with humility. You're looking for a smaller ministry. You're looking for somebody who teaches verse by verse and they just switched to verse by verse teaching. You told me that you worked 13 years bivocationally and pastored a church. This pastor has been doing it for a couple years and he's having a really hard time. He goes, you'd be perfect for that church. So I went to church the next week at that church and that's where I've been in fellowship since. And guess what I did once I got to meet the pastor after a few weeks? I didn't like overwhelm him. I said, we got to go to lunch. He goes, why? I said, I got to tell you how I ended up here, man. I want you to see it's the Lord. This is the stuff that I'm talking about. I can't believe I left that out. I need a redo for first service, those poor people. Okay, but that's the stuff I'm talking about. We miss that. We miss those moments. We experience them as believers, but we don't share with people what God did. So they can either go, ooh, that's weird, or God did that for me. Like he worked out all those details for you to talk to me. I went through all that stuff for this moment. Yeah, you did. Because he loves you that much. He loves you that much. And he is so involved with your life in ways you don't even understand. You don't even understand. But you will. And one day the Lord will reveal it. Maybe it'll be your John Hines moment. John, if you're listening, hi. I told him to listen today. I had to ask for permission for his story before I shared it. I learned that with my kids not to do that. Bad pastor. Okay, but John's like, yeah. I want him to know the Lord is all over it. And God is working in ways that he cannot understand. And he cares so much that he'll be so precise and so specific that he cannot say it's a coincidence. He cannot say it's just random. This is the Lord, and this is how he works. And we got to fight to maintain that awe in our lives. Write it down. Be prepared. When the Bible says be ready in season and out of season, that's not just for pastors, that's for you. What about you at that lunch table? What about you in that break room? What about you, you know, having breakfast with someone? What conversation may the Lord use to radically change someone's life that day? And will you be able to say when they're like, that's crazy that you said that because this thing just happened. Will you be able to say, this is what the Lord did, all these specific steps to get to this moment right here because he loves you that much and he's trying to get your attention. God works like that in all of our lives. We just don't pay attention. And then if we do realize it, we zip it and we don't tell someone. You got to tell them. Got to tell them how God works. Because a non-believer, they're on a different wavelength. They don't see it. They can't. It says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. It's up to us to tell them. And maybe that kid Dylan that I love so much is such a good kid. Maybe one day the Lord will flip the switch and he'll be like, I remember that guy, John Hines. I remember that thing that Clint shared with me. Wow, that's how God works. That's when they start realizing he's involved, he's alive, he's real, he's active, he's precise. That's who we represent to the world. And we have been blessed to have learned that and to share that with others. Let's not forget it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to share this. I thank you for the lesson you first taught me. I thank you that I just did not get lazy and just reheated a sermon, Lord. Thank you for doing that in my life, for me. Thank you for doing that in the lives of others who you are speaking to today. Father, I pray that we would understand that we are divinely appointed. There is nothing that happens throughout life that is wasted. There is nothing that's just random. The good, the bad, the difficult, the ugly, everything. It's all part of your plan. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes we can't even understand it. But nonetheless, it is part of your plan. Sometimes in this life, we get to rejoice in it. Guaranteed in eternity, we will. Father, I pray that you awaken us to these things. Help us to see your working throughout the day. Help us to be better about enjoying it, enjoying the mystery of it, enjoying the awesomeness of it, and being bold enough to explain it. And let that work happen in other people's lives as we serve you and glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.